Hey, it's not quite the DeLorean, but we're going back in time with a new podcast feed full of all my favorite interviews in the history of the Bill Simmons podcast. We're coming up on 7 years now. I've had an unbelievable collection of athletes, celebrities, showrunners, directors, Matt Damon, Denzel Washington, Adam Sandler, Kevin Garnett, Charlize Theron, Tom Hanks, Bill Burr, Kevin Durant, Peyton Manning, The Undertaker, Eddie Vedder, Kyrie Irving. Yeah, he actually came on. Dave Grohl, Quavo, Barack Obama. I mean, what else can I tell you? I've had Al Pacino with Barry Levinson. I've had people like Steph Curry, Jason Bateman, John C. Reilly, Jonah Hill. I could keep going and going. But wait, there's more. Whether it's your first time or you're planning on revisiting some of your favorites, make sure you head to BillSimmonsInterviews.TheRinger.com for the entire archive. You can sort by genre, year, and more to easily navigate all your favorite people. Follow the Bill Simmons podcast, The Interviews, on Spotify now.
It's The Ringer Gambling Show, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome into the Ringer Gambling Show. I'm Steve Cerruti, and we're going abroad again here on this feed. It is time to preview the English Premier League season that's going to kick off this weekend. And joining me once again is the great Paul Carr, director of content over at True Media, the host of the Expected Value podcast, an all-around great soccer follow. Make sure you follow him at Paul Carr on Twitter. Paul, what's up, man? Last time we had you on here, we were talking about the Champions League final. Both of us gave out Real Madrid, so I guess let's just keep the good vibes going here.
Let's keep it going. Yeah, I had a good betting year last year in the Premier League, hoping to carry it over. And beginning of the season, this is always fun just because you got so many different bets. You know, there's relegation, there's top four, there's all these different races that you don't have in, you know, you can't bet as easily, you know, finish in your top half of your division in baseball or football or something. Yeah. So there's just lots of fun stuff to bet here.
Yeah, there's lots of little things. We're going to get to it all, by the way. We're going to do title race. We'll do top four. We'll do the relegation battle, golden boot. And then we've got some kind of like weird off the cuff bets that, you know, I got a couple Nottingham Forest leans. Forest is back in the Premier League for the first time in a while. But Paul, let's start here. Let's start with the title race. Yeah. And it's interesting because we just had the Community Shield too over the weekend. And a somewhat surprising result, I guess. I think City were the favorites. Liverpool ended up winning. Depending on who you ask, I mean, it's like a glorified friendly. But both teams did kind of play what you would assume is like their A lineup. And it was obviously the debut of Erling Haaland for Manchester City, who comes with great fanfare and is supposed to be kind of their savior as the striker they haven't had for a couple of years. I want to know first and foremost, did that sway you at all in one direction or the other? Did that mean anything to you whatsoever?
Not really. I mean, I think it's kind of a microcosm of where I already thought these teams were at, and that I think they're pretty even. You know, Haaland had a couple of chances. If he finishes one or two of those, we're looking at a very different sort of game. So yeah, I don't think we learned anything from one game other than both these teams are really good and might be the two best in the world and certainly the two best in the Premier League.
Yeah, Erling Haaland, I mean, he had a pretty bad miss at the end there. Almost basically a wide open net where he hits the crossbar and goes over. I have questions about the fit in kind of Pep Guardiola's scheme. I think he's still incredible. I don't think he's going to flop. I mean, I think everyone's going to overreact. But I do think there could be a little bit of an adjustment period. I mean, you saw in that game, like, Kevin De Bruyne is yelling at him to, like, take the space, go in certain areas. And I think it's going to take time for not only him to figure out Pep's system, but the rest of the team to figure out how to play around this incredible freak athlete type striker who's maybe the best striker in the world, depending on where you put like Lewandowski and Mbappe position wise. But let's start there. Top of the table, title odds. I mean, it's basically 1-2 again, as you just mentioned. Manchester City is about -165 right now. Liverpool +200. Then you get into Tottenham +1400, Chelsea +1600, Arsenal +2500, and Man United +3500. I guess we'll stick with the top two. I mean, I just don't see any value, obviously, in Man City. Maybe there's some value in Liverpool there, but where are you kind of leaning on the title race, Paul?
Yeah, I think if you can get anything north of +200 on Liverpool, and I've seen a +250 this morning in some places, if you can get north of +200, I think there's some value there. Just because, like we said, they're pretty even over the weekend, which is just, again, kind of a microcosm of where this title race is. I have similar questions to you about Haaland. He's going to be fine. He's going to score double-digit goals. But you could see, like you said, just he's not quite as fluid by nature. He moves in different ways than, you know, an Aguero type of forward for Manchester City, and just the fluid 3 to 6 players they have up the front a lot of the time. That's just going to take time. They'll all figure it out because everyone's a great player and Guardiola is a great coach. But, you know, that 2 points that it might take them to figure it out can be the difference in a title race. So I think if you can get north of +200 on Liverpool, I think they have a more than 1 in 3 chance to win the title because this is even. So if you get that decent price, just kind of playing it purely for the odds. Yes, who's going to win the title? I think it's Man City. I think they're the better team. They're more likely, blah, blah, blah. But you get 2-1 on Liverpool, I would take that.
Yeah, the thing too is like Liverpool is also kind of in a transition period here. No Sadio Mane. He's off to Bayern Munich. Bobby Firmino, who's been kind of their like false nine striker, who's done a lot of the work for them and has, I think, been an incredibly underrated player throughout his career, even though he's not your traditional striker. He's getting older, definitely past it. They bring in Darwin Nunez, who, you know, looked great, obviously, in the Community Shield. Luis Diaz starting on the left. Like, they're also still kind of in a transition phase. Mm-hmm. But I just trust, for some reason, like, both great coaches, Pep and Klopp. But for Klopp, I just kind of trust a little bit more in these situations. The problem for me is, over the long haul, I just think City's depth is always going to be the difference. And it's going to take another kind of, like, Herculean effort for Liverpool to pull this thing off. I mean, it's going to have to take City almost losing the title than I think someone else kind of winning it. So I guess you could argue both teams are in a bit of a transition phase, but I'm kind of with you there. I think it's Liverpool potentially, depending on the price, extending beyond that. I mean, let's talk about, I guess, you know, the next group of teams, the two teams that are now in the Champions League who finished third and fourth last year, Chelsea and Tottenham, and the two teams that are outside, Arsenal and Man United. Do you think any of those teams can kind of at least put up a fight for some part of the season, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, you could talk me into playing a long shot on Tottenham at 14-1 or so. I mean, look, after Conte took over in November, they were the clear-cut third best team in the Premier League behind City and Liverpool, but ahead of Chelsea and Arsenal and United. But there was still a decent gap between them and United. You know, I don't know if they've brought in enough firepower. You know, Richarlison helps up top a little bit. Bissouma coming in from Brighton adds some strength in the midfield. So this team may be a little better. I just don't know how much better they can play than they really were the last half or so of last season when there was still a decent gap between themselves and City and Liverpool. So yeah, you could talk me into Tottenham making some kind of run. Maybe they're, you know, in first place after a couple months. But they need, like you talked about with City and Liverpool, Tottenham's going to need stuff to go wrong. You know, they're going to need probably a couple Liverpool injuries. They, you know, just some fluky results, dropping points by those top two. So they need a lot to happen. They've got to be at their peak. Liverpool and City have to drop off. So yeah, 14-1, you know, you could talk me into almost any reasonable title shot at that price, but it's not something that I've played.
Yeah, Tottenham, I like the squad. I worry about the defense, but I guess that's what Antonio Conte brings. He brings the stability at the back, no matter kind of who is there. And obviously, they've got two world-class front men in Son and Harry Kane. So, you know, they get the edge there. I'd actually kind of lean Chelsea, and I know there's like turmoil surrounding them, but I think they thrive in that sometimes. Like, whether it's Jose Mourinho and just the ups and downs, they finished 10th and then they finished first with Conte, the Champions League win. I do think Tuchel's a good coach. I think they've basically, I mean, Barcelona's basically stolen their entire transfer strategy this summer, so they might be a little bit desperate to come here at the end of the window. And again, that's another good thing to bring up is that the transfer window is still open. Like, these teams can still add and lose players. So we're doing this like a little bit prematurely and things can change. But I do think that both of those teams, Tottenham and Chelsea, have a formula for kind of how you get this done, which is sit back, don't give up goals, and then have, you know, nip a goal here and there and get a bunch of 1-0, 2-1 wins. And we saw Leicester win a title that way many years ago. We've seen Chelsea do it before. You know, Antonio Conte has certainly done that no matter where he's been. He's done that at Chelsea. He's done that at Juventus. So I think those teams have the formula to do it. And specifically Chelsea, I think if they sign another center back and, you know, with Koulibaly, who's like a world-class talent. Yes, I know they lost Rudiger, but they might have upgraded with Koulibaly in a way. The question with Chelsea is like, where are those goals coming from? That's the, obviously the issue there. I think Chelsea are the ultimate boom or bust team this year, though. I think they could finish like sixth, and I think they could finish second, maybe. So if I had to take a shot, I think I would take Chelsea just because of the pedigree, but Tottenham's not a bad shout either. So you're giving you're giving no love to Arsenal or United. You think those are both on the outside looking in?
I mean, as long as United is still in the Ronaldo era, I don't really, and assuming they're giving him minutes and you don't sign Ronaldo and keep Ronaldo and not play him, I don't feel like they have the ceiling. Arsenal, I mean, you want to play a top four, something like that? I'm game with that. You're adding Jesus, whom we'll talk about, who should bring the goal scoring they lacked at times last year. Say Arteta is going to keep building and they're going to be a little bit better. Yeah, I can definitely see a top four path for them, but getting past City and Liverpool, and things have to go wrong with Tottenham, and Chelsea has to not rebound. That's a lot would have to go right for Arsenal to sniff the title race at all.
Yeah, let's go towards the top four race then. So obviously Manchester City and Liverpool, we're going to give those a sort of given. So it's really, you know, arguably four teams for two places, and Tottenham and Chelsea, we just talked about, we like. I do kind of like, Arsenal, I don't trust. It's kind of like the old Tottenham. Like, I don't know that I trust them. I'm not the biggest Gabriel Jesus guy. I think it'll be interesting to see how he does as like kind of like the lone striker. He wasn't really afforded that opportunity a ton and to play the way that he wants under Pep Guardiola. I think it'll be a good signing. I just don't know if he's like the difference maker to get Arsenal over the top. But I do kind of like them. You've got Arsenal at plus 165 and Man United at plus 175 to just make the top four. I am kind of intrigued by that. I think, I mean, if you look at United's roster, their squad on paper, I mean, obviously, even Ronaldo, no Ronaldo, like, I actually think Anthony Martial's looked good in the preseason. I think, you know, you're going to get a better season from Jadon Sancho. I think the defense has improved. The midfield, still a big question mark for sure. Erik ten Hag's first season there at Old Trafford. I think you could talk me into either of those two teams. you can.
Yeah.
And I think if I had to pick one, I would take Arsenal just because of the continuity. But I think it would take like a Chelsea sort of, I think Tottenham's going to finish top four. I think it's whether or not Chelsea is basically a disaster or not a disaster here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same page. Yeah. If I had to take one of those plus money teams, I would take Arsenal too. United, I'm just going to be a year late on United. Like at some point, they're going to figure it out.
It's been years. It has been a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a decade since Ferguson retired, basically. You know, if this is the year they figure it out, great. I won't believe it until I see it. They've got the talent. They just haven't put all the pieces together for several years. Got a new coach. They're going to have another adjustment period. So yeah, I would play Arsenal if I had to play one of the plus money teams. It's not something I've rushed out to play. I did play Liverpool at minus 1,000,
just to finish top four.
Yeah, just to finish top four. Yeah, if again, this depends on your bankroll, what you are willing to risk, et cetera. But yeah, if you can get it down around minus 1,000 and get a 10% investment for, you know, 9 months, of socking your money away. You know, I like that. I wouldn't play it a whole lot higher than that. But yeah, that's the only top four play I've officially made. But I'd lean Arsenal if you make me pick something else.
It's a good call because Liverpool a couple years ago still finished top four despite like losing Van Dijk and was out for injury and they still somehow finished top four. Like that's almost as good. That's basically a guarantee. So you're right. It's a small return, but at least you probably know that investment's coming back. Just don't lay a ton on that. Really quickly in the top four before we move on to the middle part of the table. Chelsea and Spurs, both about even money to not make the top four. I think it's probably worth, I mean, Chelsea's definitely worth a look for me there if you're getting, you know, even money or even like plus 110 on that, just because of what I described before of like the bust factor. So something to look out for there with Chelsea as well, potentially missing out on the top four, especially because I do think, you know, I had a buddy ask me which of like the big six managers is probably on the hot seat or has the chance to be sacked first. I mean, I think Tuchel's a really good manager, but I do think he's probably the answer because Pep's not going, Klopp's not going, Arteta's likely not going, Conte, unless there's like a massive meltdown, which does happen with him. It's probably not happening this year. And Ten Hag just started at United. So it's probably Tuchel and, you throw in the new ownership there and maybe they want to straighten their situation out. And Tuchel's been a little bit unhappy with the transfer market so far. I think in even money, Chelsea outside the top four is a decent bet if you feel confident about that.
Yeah, that's not bad. And the ownership's the big X factor there on the manager. You know, this is not Abramovich who, you know, you could just see pulling the trigger five games into the season when they start with 2 points or something silly like that. That could still happen. You know, we don't know. I think the bigger issue would be what you say. Tuchel is not happy. You know, it's almost more likely that he leaves, you know, however they term it, who knows. but almost more likely
like
that he leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he doesn't get anything that he wants in the next month and they start slowly and, you know, behind the scenes, there's unhappiness. That's the formula that gets him out of there. And yeah, any of those other five, it's really hard to see anybody changing in the first half of the season.
Yeah. As two big U.S. men's national team guys too, whoever's going to play Pulisic, that's the guy that I support as Chelsea's right. manager. He needs to play. I mean, he needs to stay healthy too. But I do think yep. there's a situation there where it's, you know, it's Kai Havertz up front. It's, you know, obviously Sterling, who's their one of their big signings this summer on the left, and Pulisic coming off the right. I think that's a spot that he can own. But mm-hmm. if Tuchel's not gonna play Pulisic, I'm Tuchel out as a non Chelsea fan for sure.
I will say if the plan is to play him 30 minutes Pulisic, 30 minutes a game until the World Cup, I'm okay with that. Just purely from a World Cup standpoint, as long yep. as he's playing.
Yep. And somewhat match fit. Yeah. Not, right. you know, staying healthy, all that stuff. Yep.
Right. Yeah. I don't mind that at all. If he's a super sub for the first few months of the season, just got to get him healthy to the World Cup.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, Paul, I'll get you a World Cup early prediction as we're like, you know, 3-4 months out here in just a little bit. I don't have a ton of leans. Obviously, we don't even know who the squads are yet, but just I'm interested to know what your early lean there is as well. But let's get to a really interesting part of the table, which is sort of that middle, you know, upper but middle tier here, which is basically who, not including the big six, is going to finish the highest in the table. So that means if you take Man City out, you take Liverpool out, you take Tottenham out, Chelsea, Arsenal, and United, who finished the highest of those second tier sort of clubs? Right now, we've got Newcastle plus 225, West Ham plus 400, Leicester plus 550, Villa plus 650, Brighton plus 700. Then it kind of gets bigger odds after that. I'm going to make a weird play here, Paul, that I don't think many people are going to be on, but I'm going to be on this, I believe,
right,
depending
ready.
On how the transfer window shakes out. I think Leicester finishes seventh. Hmm. I do. And I say that because last year was just an absolute disaster for a number of yeah. reasons for them. Million injuries. They were also kind of going for the Conference League, which they lost to my squad, Roma. Shout out to Jose Mourinho, who won the first ever Conference League title. I think they didn't have anything to play for at the end of last year. They looked bad. They had a ton of injuries. And I don't really take much into that because I still think they have a really talented team. Now, they didn't make one signing this entire summer. Right. And as I mentioned, they're probably going to lose cash for Schmeichel. But I don't really think that second tier of teams is that good. I don't know that Newcastle is there yet. They had a great finish the last year, but I'm not sure I'm ready to say they're going to finish seventh. West Ham, I think the issue with them is they're going to now be playing in Europe and that's going to, again, take away from their squad. They made a couple of nice signings, Gianluca Scamacca from Sassuolo in Italy. He's a really, really good, talented young striker. But again, the more games that you play, I think it's people kind of figure out your squad gets a little bit more tired. So I'm not as high on them. Villa, I'm not a believer in. I do love Brighton, but I'm just not sure that, again, they need to score goals. I think Leicester, if they bring this whole thing back, their entire squad, keeping Tielemans, keeping Fofana, who have been some transfer rumors recently. If they keep those guys, I think Leicester finished seventh, Paul. I really do.
It's bold. I like it. I'm going a little further down to Palace at plus 1,400.
Okay.
They were really good last year. They finished 12th, but they were only 3 points out of 10th. They were seventh in goal difference. They were sixth in expected goal difference. They were kind of unlucky in one goal games and games decided by exactly one goal. They had 3 wins and 8 losses. So suggesting there's a little bit of regression that's possible there. It's mostly the same team under Patrick Vieira in his second season. They brought in a little bit of defensive help, which should shore that up a little bit. So yeah, getting a pretty good price. I like them because like you said, nobody here jumps at me. I mean, I don't feel like Newcastle should be the favorite there. I know they spent a lot of money and brought in a lot of guys, but you know, Newcastle's just been a disaster the last couple of years. Pretty lucky to avoid relegation both times in a lot of ways. So I like Palace. You get 14-1 on them to basically finish seventh or, you know, best of the not big six. I kind of like that one.
I do too. And I mean, the only thing I'm concerned about with them is Connor Gallagher, who was on loan from Chelsea last year, was a massive part of their team. Now, he tailed off a little bit at the end of last year. He is currently in Chelsea squad. We'll see if he stays there. I mean, it's the classic Chelsea loan army with all their youth players. I've always said for years, Paul, like if I was like Everton or some mid to like mid bottom tier table club, I would just keep buying Chelsea academy guys that they don't want, because there's a good chance that you're always going to be like a solid team with Chelsea rejects. Because I mean, look at all the people across Europe. I mean, you know, Tomori at AC Milan has been fantastic. You've got obviously the center back whose name I'm blanking on at Crystal Palace himself is great. Broha last year at Southampton, Livermento has been great. There's like a litter of Chelsea rejects from their academy that are actually really good players.
Yep.
So I that would be my transfer strategy if I was any like mid to lower tier table club. Just make friends with Chelsea and let them kind of, you know, send us.
It reminds me of like, 5-10 years ago when it seemed like every rising player was Belgian and they're coming up. And now it seems like, you get all these solid players and these mid tier teams and it's like, oh, he's from Chelsea. Huh, of course he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So if that's Palace's transfer strategy, if they could somehow get Connor Gallagher back, I would absolutely back you on that bet. And you like them, by the way, to finish the top half as well. You have a good bet there, too.
Yeah, plus 225 is what I played them to finish in the top half. It's the same play, same reasons, rather, as to possibly finish the best of the non-Big Six teams. They've got continuity, except for Gallagher, like you said, another year under Vieira. They just really look like they had a plan last season. And you just watch them, they look like a top half team. They look like a borderline top six team at times last year. Not afraid to take it to some of the better clubs. So yeah, I like them top half at plus 225.
Yeah, I'm with you there for sure. Let's move to the bottom half because this is actually like mid to bottom tier table. Some of these teams might be in the relegation fight. We'll get to that in a second. But you and I are in agreement on a team who we both believe are going to finish bottom half. I'll let you take the table.
Yeah, you're paying juice on this, but I like Wolverhampton bottom half a lot at minus 300. Just keep in mind, bottom half, those top six have been in the top half for 14 straight seasons. So you're basically, it's 10 teams for the other, for 10 of the other 14 teams are going to be in the bottom half, which is why you're paying the juice, which isn't terrible when you look at it that way. But Wolves was bad last season, fourth worst an expected goal difference. They really didn't add firepower. Jimenez is already hurt. Dramatinho is probably their next best offensive player. He's 35. I think relegation is much more likely than a top half finish for them. So I'll easily lay minus 300 to have them in the bottom 10.
I totally agree. Last year, their goalkeeper, Jose Sa, who was fantastic. Great, one of the best in the Premier League. Can he be expected to repeat that performance? I think he's really good, but I think he saved something like plus 7 goals.
It was an absurd number.
Absolutely phenomenal, and they don't score a ton either. Right. Like I know they're getting Neto back, and I don't believe that they're going to be able to score enough, and I don't believe they're going to have the luck that they did last year. I don't think they're going to get relegated. I think they could be dragged into that race, but I do love them to finish bottom half as well, minus 300. I think that's a fantastic bet there. And all right, let's get into maybe me as an Everton supporter, the most interesting part of this discussion. Let's get into the relegation battle.
I got a question for you, Steve. Can you explain to me what Everton's doing in this transfer window? I feel like they've signed about 15 wingers when what they really need is some semblance of a midfield. What's going on there?
They obviously lost Richarlison, who almost single-handedly dragged them into safety last year. There was a point with six games left and I was convinced they were going down.
Me too. I had a plus 333 ticket on them going down and felt great about it with about 6 weeks left.
I had in February resigned to the fact that they were going down. They had nothing going for them. And even Lampard coming in, I like him. I don't think he's a great manager though. And I don't know if he was the right guy for that, but Richarlison dragged him out of safety. That's fine.
Good for him.
I will say, I think Everton is a very popular relegation pick because I think they're the biggest club and people are like, oh, it'd be hilarious to see them go down. I think they'll be in the mix, but I do not believe I think they're a 14th, 15th finish, I would imagine. But the key for them is Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who the year before was kind of the breakout striker in the Premier League. He had got called up to the England squad. Great player, limited player, very athletic, not maybe the best. He's somewhat of a poacher, very athletic, good with his head. He basically missed the entire season. They didn't have him for the whole season. They're playing Richarlison at striker, which is semi out of position. They're going to have DCL back. They signed Dwight McNeil from Burnley, who I think is a good player. Mm-hmm. They signed James Tarkowski from Burnley, who is also a solid player. The only concern there would be you signed two players from a team that got relegated the year before, so are you trying to get relegated yourself? There is an argument to be made there. Yeah. I fully understand that. I think they'll be fine. They had so many things go wrong for them last year. I don't think it's going to be pretty. It's going to be really ugly. I think they're not going to be a fun watch week in and week out. But I do think that so many things went wrong for them last year that they'll probably be fine this year. But to your point about their transfer strategy, it is absolutely pathetic. Let me run through the odds really quickly, too, for the relegation fight. So bottom, which means, you know, the chance most likely to get relegated, Bournemouth at minus 190, then Nottingham Forest plus 110, Fulham plus 120, Leeds plus 225, Brentford plus 250, which I think is ridiculous. Looks like they're going to sign Damsgaard from Sampdoria, too. He's a really nice player. Probably replaces Christian Eriksen. Southampton's plus 300, and Everton is at plus 350. What kind of stands out to you there?
So first, I'll point out that, you know, it's very tempting just to say, oh, the three that came up are going to go right back down. However, in the last 24 Premier League seasons, at least one holdover Premier League team has been sent down, meaning at least one newly promoted team has survived. Mm-hmm. So somebody's going down, almost certainly, from this group of established teams. And for me, I think Southampton is the team that I played at plus 300. You know, they were a little bit lucky early in last season and then kind of coasted. And they really weren't in the relegation scrap, even though I think they ended with 40, 42 points, something like that.
Yeah.
And they signed a handful of young players, which on one hand is good in theory. You know, there's promise here. But I have questions about how young players fit into Hasenhüttl's pressing system. And if those guys don't click, like, this has all the potential for one of those, kind of like Everton had last season, one of those wheels fall off and everything goes wrong sort of seasons. So I don't feel like they have the upside. And I feel like worst case scenario is they're just going to be scrapping for almost the whole season down in the bottom five. So I like Southampton at plus 300.
I like Southampton as well. I think I had them last year in the relegation fight too. The question for them is like, who is scoring goals for this team?
Right.
Like Shea Adams, like, is that the guy that'll lead you to safety? You're right. They signed a lot of young, nice players. But again, those guys you can't really rely on, especially in a relegation battle right away. Yep. And they've kind of been trending in this direction for a couple of years now where, you know, 5-6 years ago, they were kind of like flirting with Europe and they were like this upcoming team. They had an incredible sort of like development system, youth academy. Yeah. But a lot of those guys have since left. And Hasenhüttl, I mean, I know most people think he's a really good manager. I just don't think he has the tools to really do anything with this squad. It's pretty surprising that they haven't really reinforced this team a ton. So I'm kind of totally there with you on Southampton plus 300. I think they're kind of the one to bet on. Do you, as far as like the newly promoted teams, like which one do you tip which, you know, one of them to stay up more than the other two?
I don't have a strong feeling really for any of the three for that matter. I mean, Bournemouth and Forest were, I mean, Fulham was far and away the best team in the championship last year. How that translates to the Premier League is the big question. Obviously, they've yo-yoed the last few years. So this year, they seem to be trying a little more conservative transfer strategy, which might be a good thing. I just, you know, there's no one way to stay in the Premier League. So they're trying all of them over some of your span. But yeah, I don't have a strong feeling between Forest and Bournemouth. I know Bournemouth is a significant favorite there, but I don't have a strong feeling either way.
I am not very high on Bournemouth. I think that I don't know their squad and, you know, Solanke, who's their striker, who had a good year in the championship last year. I'm not sure, again, not proven in the Premier League. It's a totally different, I think, it's something like when 20% of the goals that you score in the championship end up really translating to the Premier League. Like, it's not like these guys come in and just start scoring at the same rate.
Right.
And a lot of times, the way that a team like Fulham or Bournemouth, who had really good years in the championship last year, the way that they played in the championship is not the way that they're going to have to play in the Premier League. And it just usually doesn't, you know, it doesn't equate success. That's why sometimes those teams that end up making it through the playoff are a little bit better off because they're used to playing multiple different styles and not always dominating every game. I got a couple of relegation type bets to throw at you here. The first one, I'm actually a little bit optimistic about Nottingham Forest. Maybe it's the history. Maybe I like the uniforms. I like the idea of like them being, you know, European winners years and years ago. They're a historic, you know, Premier League team that's been down for a while.
Yep.
I'll throw a stat at you here. 4 out of the last 5 years, Paul, newly promoted team has finished in the top half of the table. 4 of the last 5 years. And last year, it very easily could have been Brentford if it wasn't for a couple of injuries here and there. That was a good team that very easily could have finished top half. I think Nottingham Forest plus 800 to finish top half is actually not a terrible bet to make because of what we talked about before and how kind of weak and soft that middle to top sort of section between, you know, 7 to 13 is. I think they're going to be in that mix. And I'm getting plus 800, plus they signed Dean Henderson from Manchester United, who had a great year at Sheffield 2 years ago when Sheffield was pushing for Europe. They signed Jesse Lingard on a free, a lot of money, one-year deal, but actually a really nice player who I think is going to help them a ton. Can they be the Sheffield United of a couple years ago? I think they can. So give me, I'm not saying go to the bank with this, but I really am intrigued by Nottingham Forest plus 800 just to finish top half.
I don't hate it. I mean, at that price, and like we said, given the soft middle of the table, I mean, it's, you know, you steal 6 points over the first few months and like you're well on your way. Like Sheffield United a couple years ago came out of the gate and was just stealing points all over the place and rode that all the way there to a top half finish. So yeah, it's not awful. And like you said, they're bringing in some players that are known quantities that have Premier League pedigree and experience. So yeah, you're getting 8-1 plus on any team to get in the top half. It's not terrible.
Yeah. And then the last one here, I'll throw at you. This is kind of a fun one. Speaking of Bournemouth and how down I am on Bournemouth, I think plus 330 to be bottom of the table at Christmas is, I love that bet. I absolutely love it. They open at home to Villa, at City, home to Arsenal, and at Liverpool. They're going to be lucky to get any points there. And then they're going to be chasing for basically the rest of 2022. I think they're the team that I feel the most confident is going down. So for them to be bottom of the table at Christmas, I feel like with that starting schedule, I think plus 330, I'll run to the bank.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you lump them in with the other two newly promoted teams, we already talked Forest and we think they got a shot to be decent. Fulham has the experience. They're not going to have, you know, 60% possession and Mitrovic isn't scoring 40 goals like he did last season. But, you know, there's a legit case that you could make almost the same case for them for the top half as you could for Nottingham Forest. So yeah, Bournemouth appears to be the weakest of those relegation or newly promoted teams rather. So getting, that's pretty good plus money, I think, to get at the bottom at Christmas. And remember, Christmas is November 12th because of the World Cup. So it's even, just to your point of a tough start, it's an even more compressed time frame and fewer games than you would normally have before Christmas.
That's a great point. All right, let's move on. Last thing we'll cover here is the Golden Boot race. This is interesting because Erling Haaland, new guy to the Premier League, is the odds-on best favorite. He's plus 275 to score the most goals, Golden Boot here in the Premier League. Mo Salah, plus 450. Harry Kane, plus 600. Then you get in some long shots. Darwin Nunez is plus 1,200, which I think is way too high. Gabriel Jesus, interesting, at also plus 1,200. Cristiano Ronaldo, your boy, plus 1,400. I'll just start here with Haaland. I think, first off, I would not bet on Erling Haaland. Right. One, switching leagues. The highest scores for Pep teams are usually never very high. I don't think Pep has had a guy even near the top since he's been the manager at Manchester City. Now, Haaland is a different type of striker, but I do think there's going to be an adjustment period, as I mentioned, for both he and the team. So I would take him out of the equation right away. I think Mo Salah is an interesting one, plus 450, just because they're going to need to rely on him, losing a couple of those guys, specifically Mane. And he plays a million games. And he's also not going to the World Cup as well with Egypt.
Yep, true.
So I think plus 450 is a good bet for him. Anything you like there, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, if my short shot, I'm probably going to play Harry Kane. Or I have played Harry Kane at 6-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to play for a top six team. I think in the last 20 seasons, only one guy has won the Golden Boot, not from a top six team. That was Vardy a couple years ago. And you got to take penalties. You know, Salah takes penalties. Haaland will probably take penalties, although, you know, we'll know when we see it. So if that's a case for taking Salah, but Kane's going to take the penalties for Tottenham. He's got, I think, 17 goals in six straight seasons, and he had 17 last year and underachieved his expected goals a little bit. We talked about, he fits into this Conte system really well with Son. So I think, you know, he's going to be in that 20 goal range. You know, you give him three or four penalties. So I think he's going to be right there. So I like him at 6-1 if I'm taking a short shot.
Yeah, penalties are key for him. We'll move on to long shots here now, too, to close this thing out. Call me crazy.
Okay.
And this might be crazy. I like Kai Havertz plus 3,500. Go ahead. Well, I think he's going to be the focal point of the attack. And, you know, they're going to be a good team.
I was going through the top six teams to figure out, you know, assuming it's coming from there. So you have Salah for Liverpool, Haaland for City, Kane for Tottenham, United, whatever. I'm throwing Ronaldo out the window for this. Taking him. And Chelsea, I was kind of like, you know, somebody's got to score these goals. The downside is he's probably not taking penalties as long as Jorginho's there, though, you know, who knows. I mean, you want to take a flyer on Sterling? I think he's like 25-1 or something. Sure. You can talk me into almost any Chelsea guy. Your range of outcomes is very wide. You know, it's one of those, he might score 5 goals and he might score 20 sort of thing. So no, I don't hate it.
I think he's being groomed for that position by Tuchel. I think Tuchel likes him as that like center forward sort of false nine situation. He also scored 17 goals in Germany as a teenager. Like he's a goal scorer. Now he was a midfielder then, which actually might make my point even better. Then, like I think there's potential here for him to score a ton of goals. And as you mentioned, someone's going to have to score goals on this team, whether it's Sterling or him. And I think he's probably in the best position to do so. It looks like it looks like, you know, there's really no other strikers on that roster. Obviously, they lost Lukaku. It looks like Timo Werner's maybe going back to Leipzig.
Right.
Yeah, so I kind of like that as well. And then Jamie Vardy's another one, plus 3,500. You kind of mentioned him. He only had 15 goals last season, but he only played 25 games. You take that over the course of an entire season. If he's healthy, he's going to be scoring goals for Leicester. I keep saying like the age is going to catch up to one of these days, and it never does. So I know they signed a couple strikers, Pats and Daka, but none of them have really caught on the way I think that that Vardy still provides sort of stability for them. So I think that's another one, interesting one. I mean, he's obviously got to stay healthy. I think I'm high on Leicester this year, so obviously I'm going to be high on Jamie Vardy as well.
Yeah, health's the big issue there. He'll take penalties. I think Leicester drew the most penalties in the league last season. Like, they're just one of those teams that very clearly is, you know, get in the box, fall down is part of their strategy. I do like Gabriel Jesus if you can get a decent price. Like, I got him at 14-1. I think he's around 12-1. I see him at 9-1 now. I don't really like him that low because he had, I think, 7 goals in 5 preseason games, so the price dropped quite a bit. But there's a chance he's the new Aubameyang, just in the sense that somebody's got to be in the middle of the box and scoring goals for all these Arsenal balls that get in there. And, you know, he's shown a pretty good sense of awareness. Always seemed to underachieve his expected goals with Manchester City. Will he take penalties? Not really sure. Saka took their only one in the preseason, so that's a question. But he did take some with City, so that's a possibility. So yeah, 14-1 or so. I don't mind that on Jesus. Although I will also say, I think I've played him to win the Golden Boot like 4 times in the last 5 years. I mean, usually it's like 35-1. And you're basically betting that Aguero's going to get hurt for the whole season, which wasn't a terrible bet. It just never worked out. But yeah, I still like him. I hope I'm not just throwing bad money after, or good money after bad, or whatever it is at 14.
All right, Paul, really quickly before we go, give me your predicted top four.
All right, I'm going to go Liverpool, City, Tottenham, and I'll put Arsenal in just to be a little bit different.
Nice. You know,
I think those 3 teams for the last spot are a little bit of a mess. I'll take Arsenal, ride my Jesus Golden Boot bet to the top four.
You got to back up. You got to back up the Gabriel Jesus train. I respect it. I'm going to be boring. I'm going to same order, except for I'll just have Chelsea instead of Arsenal in the 4th spot. Chelsea, ultimate kind of boomer bust team. I think they'll figure it out. They're just too talented, and I just don't know if I trust Arsenal enough. So there are our top four predictions. Yep. Before I let you go, Paul, any sort of early leans as we're like, 3-4 months away from the World Cup?
Let's see. I have a Germany, I think it's 10-1 ticket. I made this before the draw, so before they got stuck in with Spain in their group. Although, I don't know. I mean, they're going to play like a Belgium, Canada, or Croatia, somebody in the round of 16 if Germany gets through. So I still don't mind that one. I have a few other like get out of the group type of plays, I think, on Canada. And
interesting, yep.
I thought I had one more. Maybe it was Qatar. That's the only ticket I have to win is Germany. It's kind of one I make almost every tournament. Doesn't matter. Men's, women's, Euros, World Cup.
Never a bad idea to
build Gary Lineker quote, Germany always wins.
Exactly. Never a bad idea to back Germany. I'm interested in, just if we're looking at like to win early sort of like odds, I kind of like Argentina plus 700. I like their squad. I feel like they've kind of figured it out around Messi as well. Obviously winning the South American tournament. And you know, I just think for years, it was like, who can play with him? I think they found a group of guys that can play with him. I love their midfield. Right. Defense is a little bit questionable, but I kind of like them, and I think their group is pretty favorable. I'm looking at Argentina. I haven't placed any bets just yet, but I do like Argentina at plus 700. So that'll do it. Paul, maybe we'll chat as we get to the lead up to the World Cup in a couple months. And I really appreciate you hopping on again. At Paul Carr on Twitter, director of content for True Media. Always a pleasure, my man. Have a good season.
You bet. Same to you.